Well, bless the Lord. Good evening, everyone. And some time ago, a number of years ago, I covered a very similar subject on discipline, becoming like Christ. And I think it's really important, especially in the light of so much going on in our country and our world today, the tremendous tragedy up there in Connecticut where those precious little children were killed by this literally a madman, either someone tremendously mentally ill or someone tremendously overcome with satanic evil or whatever the situation was going on there. But there's a lot of people that are out there saying what needs to be done to change, and you need more guns, and you don't need any guns, and people are going back and forth, and you need to have laws in the family, and you got to change this, and you got to have more police and less police, but none of those are answers. They are reactions to something that happened. It's not an answer. The only answer to make it work is to become like Christ. That is it. That's the only answer. I mean, that is the answer. We need to get that in our hearts. We need to have that come out of our mouths. Instead of getting involved in whether it's gun control or not, or laws or taxes and tax the rich and all the rest of this, the reason we have the problems in this great God-blessed country is because we've kicked God out of the country and we've let nothing but the Adam nature rule. I mean, truly, the essence of my next book is, it's the morality, stupid, not just the economy. If we didn't have the bribery, the lies, and the corruption, if we didn't have the adultery and the divorce and the fornication, if we didn't have the coarseness and the roughness and the foolishness and all of the cheating and all the rest that goes on, we wouldn't be having this. It's so powerful. There is an answer to what's going on, and that is to become like Christ. The only way to become like Christ is not in terms of rules and regulations, but to bend the knee of your heart, or your physical knee, should that occur, and ask Jesus Christ to come inside. This is not something in your head. This is in your heart. And it's not in a church or in a religion. It is in going to the living God and acknowledging His greatness more than yours. God, I give up being God, is what we really need to say. Forgive me. Come into my heart, Jesus. But be my Lord. Teach me your ways. And He says, yes. Right in the very scripture it says, this is the way. Walk in it. And we hear Him, and people are screaming, where is God when all those little babies were shot? Where was God? God is right where He's always been. And he's screaming to us, my children, this is happening because it's exactly what I said would happen when you don't obey me. Powerful, powerful. But in talking about becoming like Christ, we have to talk about discipline. We are an unruly lot. The Adam nature is not what God made. And everyone keeps cursing God. Adam disobeyed. God told him ahead of time, gave him a heads up. It wasn't like some surprise He poured on Adam. If you disobey, death will enter in. You're going to lose everything. But Adam did the same thing that we did. He overthought God. He thought, oh yes, I know better than you. And when that old adversary, the evil one who already lost, who already disobeyed God and was thrown out from the holiness of His presence, comes along and tells Adam and Eve, oh no, if you do eat of that fruit, you're going to be like Him. Well, what could be better than that? The only problem with that scenario is that God said, don't eat of that fruit. And that's what we have to understand. If we could discipline ourselves. But we have a broken nature. So again, you have to go right back to God. God, I'm struggling. I don't have a power within me. I need the flow of your spirit because it will never lead me to sin. So in 1 Timothy chapter 4 is a wonderful, it like compiles everything for tonight, really. 1 Timothy 4 verses 7 and 8. And it says, when Paul was talking to Timothy, he wrote this letter, because Timothy was like the leader of the church that had developed at Ephesus. And Ephesus was sort of like a big Las Vegas type city. It was like, you know, Sin City back then in those days. But his message to the people, in when he wrote to Timothy was, he said, discipline yourself. I mean, this was 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, comes right off the bat and says, discipline yourselves. And he wasn't talking about some of the pagan disciplines of the day. He wasn't talking about the fastings and the beating of the body and the wearing of the hair ropes and, you know, and the hurting and the sacrifice of the body and all of this and the things that we have today, the brown rice and all this kind of stuff. And people, you see them in their religious ceremonies taking swords and beating their heads and their foreheads until blood comes and all of this foolishness. It's not the discipline God's talking about. It's discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness, meaning Christlikeness, is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and the life to come. What a message! All of your decisions, all of your relationships, all of your business, every single thing you do, this disciplining of yourself for the purpose of godliness in your discipline, it is the powerful thing. It's a profit here, and it's a profit for the life yet to come. Whoa. So, none of us like the word discipline, though. I mean, when you come right down to it, none of us like the word discipline. Discipline means you have to hold yourself back. You have to do something you might not want to do. You have to rein yourself in. See, that Adam nature is very powerful. It's also very evil because of the brokenness in that disobedience. What it does is that it says, God tells us, it's enmity to God. It's the opposite of God. It doesn't lean toward God. So everything you're born with leans more toward lying and lust and lasciviousness and dissensions and fights and argument and jealousy and greed. All the things that are the problems today, you're born with a nature that leans towards that. The only way to break that is not by a personal discipline to hold yourself back. You don't have the power to hold back the Adam nature. You don't. It is already weak. The only thing that's going to work is the inclusion of Jesus Christ into you. Ask him inside, forgive me, Jesus. I ask you in the power of the holy, 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 powerful Spirit of God to indwell me and to be my Lord. Everybody wants a Savior because they don't want to go to hell, but no one wants a master that tells them what to do. Well, you can't have one without the other. But if you want to serve a master, serve Jesus because he's so gloriously wonderful. He is kind, he is compassionate, he is loving, he is good, he is glorious in all his ways. He's not this ugly, hard-headed God that's off there in the distance, as some people think. This is a God who, if you let him, he will come into your life and help you. He will hold things back that could interfere with your growth. He can help you, but you can't fool him. You can't throw a few bucks in the plate, show up at church once in a while and think you're holy. This is a matter of a daily routine, a daily life, a daily walk with God in which you're going to have to hold back those horses, those wild horses of the Adam nature, sometimes a little harder some days than others, but it's daily. And this discipline, we don't like that. And it actually comes from a word, sophronismos, which comes from the word meaning mind. It means saving the mind. Discipline, how you think. It really comes to self-control. Now, so many things are out of the self-control in our lives, in our culture, that we have to have things from the outside to control us. Police and force and power and rules and regulations. My gosh, you wouldn't need any of that stuff if you had a Christ-like love. Because a Christ-like heart would not kill, would not murder, would not lie, would not cheat, would not steal, would not have a war, would not do anything. A Christ-like nature wouldn't even step on the grass of the neighbor. You know, a Christ-like nature will probably mow the grass of the neighbor. And so it's a powerfully different world than what we understand. But the answer to every single thing that's wrong is to become like Christ. And when we think about the discipline, we think about these punishing workouts, you know, like, you know, going out to CrossFit or something like that, you know, and just work out and sweat and all this stuff. No, the discipline that God's talking about is a spiritual discipline, and it's not like a spiritual treadmill experience where you got to force yourself anything. It's not a list of no fun, tedious activities that you got to practice and go through all of these things. It's not paying your way into heaven. There's nothing you can do. What are you going to give God? There's nothing you can give God. Heaven is his home. Earth is his footstool. So what are you going to give him? Ice cream? Rolex? I mean, there's nothing you can give him. He has given it all to us. He owes us nothing. We owe him everything. So the discipline of Christianity is not easy. It's tough. So I have a message for us all today. Suck it up. Just do it. We have to do this. It is your life. It's your life as a parent, as a husband and a wife. If you want your marriage to survive, you cannot have the Adam nature. If you want your business to survive, if you want your community to survive, if you want your church, how many churches have broken up because the board couldn't decide on what color carpet or chairs to put in there? What foolishness! We've gone far away from what God has said to do. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Now, in seeking this intimacy with God, to manifest the holiness and to manifest the godliness is going to require some things. It's going to require a focused determination. I get scattered sometimes because this and that and that phone call and this person and that thing, and I have to come here and I have to go there. And then right in the middle of what I think is a beautifully planned out day, then I get a call and somebody is sick and they need some chicken soup or, you know, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So you have to have a focused determination. And I cannot do that for anyone. You can't do it for me. I can't do it for you. You have to have a brutal talk with God yourself. And have a focused determination. And it doesn't spread out over a month. You're going to have to do that every day. And if you get unfocused, then get back in focus during the day. If you find yourself just like some of our testimonies and things here, you know, I started to get angry or I felt this thing coming up in me, whatever. You're getting unfocused. You're losing that focused determination to be Christ-like. Get that focus back again. And it's happening. And we're having many successes. And we deal with many people here that are in drugs and alcohol addictions and all sorts of things. Their successes come not in a behavioral modification program, but in a Christ-like life where you actually let his power come through you to overcome whatever the disadvantage, whatever the addiction, whatever anything is going on. It is possible, and those who go with Christ do it. Those who don't, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. There is an answer, but there has to be a focused determination, and only each individual can do that. But God doesn't expect us to do it alone. We're born handicapped. He knows that. You get your refreshment from him. When you start leaking, you get your refreshment from him. God is never going to pour his blessings into a bucket with holes in it. So plug up your holes. Help me, God. I'm leaking over here. I'm getting angry, or I'm getting greedy, or I'm getting whatever it is you're doing. You can't let go of that thing. I can't forgive that person. Whatever you were stuck on, God help me. I don't want that. But so it's not rules you're abiding in. It's a love of God. I don't want to do that, God. It's not pleasing to you. It's something you already said not to. Now, it's not just the not to's. There's the do's. You got to do the do's as well as not do the don'ts. So it's really going to demand a change in attitude and behavior. And if you don't have a change in attitude, it's rarely going to manifest in your behavior. If your attitude is, you're the problem and I'm not, you're going to get a long, bumpy road in the Lord. It's already, life is already full of heartaches and hardships. So attitude and behavior, absolutely connected. If your attitude is not right, if your attitude is not humble, if you're not backing it down and willing to admit that, yeah, you are wrong. How many times have we heard, well, God doesn't expect me to do this and God doesn't expect me to do that. Yes, he does. But he knows you're handicapped and limping along and that you can't. So you need to have him in your life and then let him flow. You're going to be absolutely marvelously so surprised, just like I was, at the ability to do things you couldn't do before. The loving, the forgiving, the strength, the understanding of the scripture, the understanding of God. That doesn't come from me studying or you reading. It comes by a flow, an unhindered, a less hindered flow. And it should be less hindered as we go along on this journey. It'll come with a lot of heartaches, etc. Now, I'm not suggesting some sort of, you know, 1-2-3 rule here, and you make a vow to God and turn over a new leaf, you know. Oh, there you go. Everything's all fixed. No. A disciplined life means to live life just as Jesus intended. Difficult choices and hard work, but the results, they are to be desired. I mean, it's what we're looking for. And it's an increasing ability to actually enjoy God and his goodness. I don't know about you, but as the dirt and the tar and the darkness and the wrong thinking and the wrong feeling and the wrong wanting hold less power over me, it starts to go away from who I am. I am able to enjoy life more. This is so amazing. I am doing less of the wrong things that I used to do in order to get pleasures, and I'm doing the right things, and I'm getting more enjoyment, more satisfaction, more fulfillment, more love than I ever did doing things the wrong way. See, the Adam nature doesn't see it fully, but the God nature does. And that's the one, that's part of our attitude change, that's the one you have to want. Ruling in you, flowing from you. Not a bunch of rules and regulations in religion, but a true relationship. I love you, God, more than I love myself. That's the big attitude change. And on the days I don't, I give you permission to use a 2x4 up the side of my head. I don't want to displease you, Lord. I love you so much. I want to please you. I want to do what you are saying to do. So it's so powerful. This discipline yourself for godliness, the end result is going to be not some sort of structured robotic life. The end result is going to be godliness. Mm-hmm. Discipline yourself for godliness. So, and when you, like at the gym, and many people here, you know, go to the gym and they either in the past or present or something like that, maybe some in the future, who knows. The conditioning and the discipline that it takes, you get up and you go through these things and you lift weights or you get on a treadmill, whatever. And it's a repetitive training exercises. I mean, that's what we understand that physically. It's the same way in this discipline for godliness. You're going to have repetitive exercises of prayer. You're going to have to repeat it, not repeat a certain prayer, but repeat this access to God, repeat this conversation with God. You're going to have to practice this over and over. You're going to have to practice shutting up. Hard for those in the Pugsley line, but hey, we're working on it. Those who've let the Lord deeply into their hearts are really working on that. It's a repetitive training exercise, so to speak. That's what God is talking about. Not how many times you kneel or genuflect, and not how many things you do, or not how many ceremonial practices you accomplish. That's not what God is talking about, the practicing. You have to practice trust. I guarantee if you really connect yourself with the Lord, you submit to him, he's going to give you a bazillion opportunities to trust him. Sometimes he's going to actually allow things to happen in your life financially or physically. Those two things, I tell you, when he hits your wallet and hits your health, doesn't that really get your attention? It does. He's not punishing us. He wants us to practice, and you can't practice unless you have circumstances that have meaning. If you run out of ink and a pen, that's not a big deal. You start running out of money and can't pay your rent, that's a big deal. Who are you going to trust? Who are you going to go to? I'm not saying God's punishing you. Just when he sees some of these things getting ready to happen, he very often doesn't prevent them because he wants you to be in those tighter circumstances. Because when the heat's up, that's when the purifying starts. And that's so difficult for people. They misunderstand God. He's not punishing people. He didn't punish those little babies. If those little babies are with him, they won. There's no destruction on God's part. And God allows evil to manifest because he has to give us a free will. We are not robots. This thing is huge, wrapped up in mystery as well as history. God does know what he's doing. He's perfectly good, but because he's perfectly good, he's perfectly just. This stuff works out for God. We just so malign him because he didn't do it our way. Those babies died and you could have stopped it, God. Therefore, you are a bad God. That is Adam level thinking. It's low level logic. That's not true. Because in God's world, if 500 people could come to know the Lord and have Jesus Christ come into their lives and change them and have them go to eternity by that tragedy up there, in God's world, then it's worth it. He not only gets the babies, he gets 500 more people that wouldn't have maybe come to him. So you see, we have no clue what we're talking about when we yak through the Adam mouth. So it's a practicing of faith, a practicing of letting go. This is practicing. So that's why these circumstances happen in our life. We have to repeat it because you have to practice it. And you can't construct it. Oh, hey, I'm going to develop a circumstance here that I'm going to trust God. I guarantee every one of us will do something softer, sweeter, and nothing to do with trusting God. You have to build up faith that you are not born with, trust you are not born with, truth that you are not born with. This comes in that discipline. Life, that disciplined life. I'm not talking about cold water showers and brown rice eating and beating your back. That's not the discipline. It's a discipline of prayer. It's a discipline of obedience. It's a discipline of trust. It's a discipline of forgiveness. It's a discipline of love. It's a discipline of backing down. You can't always have what you want. It was funny, the other day I was watching little Adeline. She's 3.5 years old, precious little girl. And she wanted something, and she couldn't have it. It just wasn't appropriate for the moment, or whatever it was. I just don't remember the circumstance. But I remembered saying to her, I said, honey, you can't always get what you want. And in that moment, I didn't do this, but in that moment, that 60s song, you can't always get what you want, that came to my mind. But I didn't trouble her with me singing that song to her, but... From her young age, she doesn't know. Guess what? She's in the learning process. And she needs to hear this, which probably half of our people in America haven't heard. You can't always get what you want. That is a discipline, and God wants us in that circumstance because he knows we're born with that handicapped Adam nature, and it wants things that only look good up front. We have a nation full of people with broken families and unwed mothers and HIV, AIDS, and all sorts of things going on. And if people had just had a godliness there, it would never led to those circumstances. You can't just have what you want. Maybe we could teach that maybe a little bit more. But no one, if you're in a family where it's broken and no one's teaching and there's no guidance there, how can you have that? I thank God for the godly parents and the godly people that are rising up and raising up a next generation that does know the principles of God and is having discipline for your personal and your spiritual life incorporated very early. And some people call that brainwashing. I always call it heartwashing. It's not brainwashing to tell a child that there is a God, that he loves you, and Jesus Christ is your Savior. That's not brainwashing. That's heartwashing. And why is it not brainwashing then if you tell a child that there is no God? That's okay. No. And I've said this, if I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. It is not what you believe that counts. It's truth. You can believe something with all your heart. It doesn't make it true. They believe with all their heart the world was flat. It didn't make it true. There either is a God or there isn't. They both can't be true. If there is a God, then it is not true that there isn't one. If there isn't a God, then it's not true that there is one. So what you're seeking is the truth, not religion and not belief systems. And when you find truth, and that's Jesus because he's the way, the truth, and the life, those are three great words, all wrapped up in Jesus. No other prophet, no other leader, no other person in the world has ever said. They might have said, I'm the way, but they never said, I'm the way and the truth. And they never said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It is all wrapped in our great and precious God. Thank you, Lord. So our goal as a Christian is to become like Christ. Hello, it's in the name. So I remember years ago when I first came to know the Lord, I kind of said, I kind of wish that you called us Christians, Lord. You know, his name's right in there. Christians, we kind of, you know, put it in there. He wasn't Jesus Christ. Charlie Christ, he was the former governor. I mean, it wasn't Jesus Christ, it was Jesus Christ. We're Christians, really. But anyways, he didn't name us. That just comes about by man's way. But so our goal then, in terms of being a Christian, and I hate to put a name on anything, but just for identification's sake, it's that we know Christ. The whole goal of all this discipline, the whole goal of all the direction and the obedience and the connection and the relationship with God is that we know Christ, not moral perfection. If you think becoming a Christian is going to give you some sort of a, you know, sugar sprinkled on you that you'll never sin again, you're dead wrong. You have a powerful broken nature in you. You are now entering a battle. The perfect nature of God or the broken nature, and you're going to have a choice every moment of every day which one you choose. The difference is that when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved and sanctified, so even if you make a wrong decision, God's going to forgive you and help you out. Making those wrong decisions without Christ, you're doomed. Making those wrong decisions with Christ, he's going to have mercy and compassion and forgiveness on you. So powerful. And yet some people say, oh good, let me go run and be a Christian so I can go ahead and sin, do all I want, because he'll forgive me. With that attitude, you're not a Christian. And God has a lot of work. Now, he'll repair your heart. He'll still get in there, even though you might not be doing that. So it's not this moral perfection. It's not tranquility. It's not tranquility we're looking for. All the kumbaya people, kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya, you know, make love, not war. All of that doesn't work because the world is full of Adam-natured people who have not given their lives to the Lord and are not becoming like Christ. So even if you become like Christ, if you become so holy and powerful, you walk on water, you're still going to run into problems because there's other people on the planet that haven't. And they're going to rip you off, they're going to disappoint you, they're going to divorce you, they're going to do all sorts of things, they're going to rob your business blind. All sorts of things are still going to happen. But that's only here, because if anyone hasn't noticed, this is not heaven. That is yet to come. And I like how Charles Swindoll, let me get the name straight here. He says that kind of being like Christ, meaning the godliness and the perfection, etc., won't just happen by hanging around a church or thinking some lofty thoughts a few times a day, or memorizing some scriptures. It takes much more. Disciplining ourselves takes the same kind of focused thinking and living that Jesus modeled. He was focused on God the Father. I get distracted, but I'm striving to not be distracted. I'm striving to have a fierce awareness of the presence of God and a fierce awareness of his power and ability to do what I can't do in all things. It's very powerful. And it can be done by anyone. You don't have to be some pastor somewhere. You don't have to be ordained minister. All that stuff is just man's worldly ways. God either calls you to do something or he doesn't. He gifts you and prepares you or he doesn't. Go with what God has for you. So this kind of discipline, this saving of the mind, has 8 spiritual disciplines. And I remember sharing this. I did 5 years of volunteer chaplaincy with the Army National Guard, and I remember giving the Superior Soldier. The Superior Soldier class, and every bit of it was modeled on character development. It was about the morality of the day, and it was so wonderful. They let me do it. It wasn't in their curriculum. They let me do it. It was the Superior Soldier, and that's how you become a Superior Soldier. And but I remember going over this with them. So forgive me if I taught this last week. I can't remember. I teach here. I teach with the cadets. I teach out in the community, and you know, there's a lot going on. Sometimes I don't remember, but I do remember going over this, and it really touched some of these soldiers. And there's 8 spiritual disciplines. And then Charles Swindoll came up with this list. So it's not something I came up with. I want to share it with you. And he talks about the spiritual disciplines. A discipline of intimacy. And that is deepening our lives in the Lord. There has to be an intimacy in the Lord. Now you have handouts on this. And those listening by the web. The handout will be posted also. The spiritual discipline of simplicity. Oh, I'm working on this one, folks. Simplicity. Uncluttering your mind. I got stuff flying in and out of this brain cell. Oh, please, God, just get it out of there. When I lay down, it's like perks up. I'm going, shut up in there. Just simplicity. Keep it simple, stupid. It's really very good. I mean, Jesus didn't say stupid, but you know what I'm saying. Another spiritual discipline is silence and solitude. Now, these are disciplines. You understand? This is a practicing. You have to identify this. Just pick one of them and do it for a month. You know, then the next one. You know, do whatever it takes to really get this into our soul. Silence and solitude, we have to slow the pace down. I'm talking to some people here. Our church leadership is here tonight. And, boy, I tell you, we're going. We're moving. Going all the time. You know, just ministering to people and serving the Lord and serving the community. And then you have your own life, you know, on top of that, your own family and grandkids and all this stuff and kids. But silence and solitude is going to be the key. That's a spiritual discipline that is going to refresh you in a way that's even better than 8 hours of sleep. And God will help with that. Spiritual discipline number four, you're going to have to practice it. Surrender. That means letting go. Oh, God, yes. Letting go. Just surrender. Say, God, there's nothing I can do about it. I've got to give it to you. Another spiritual discipline is prayer. Calling out to God. These are spiritual disciplines. Humility. Bowing low before the Lord. Now, I don't mean a physical bowing, but do that sometimes. Have you ever done this? Have you just laid down on your face on the floor? And many of our wonderful people in here have. Just lay down your face before God. Say, God, I just put myself out flat as I can. If I could get under the rug, I would. And I come before you to acknowledge your greatness and my smallness. Now, that's not to diminish me as a human. God has allowed us to have gifts. God has allowed us to be good. I mean, for crying out loud, we have jets and we put a man on the moon. It's great minds that we have. They're just crooked and broken. We need to take every thought captive. We need to bring everything under the dominion of a great and a holy and a powerful Lord. So humility, very powerful to practice. Self-control, that means holding back. Self-control and sacrifice, meaning giving over. And we do live sacrificial lives, but we have to be careful that we're not just sucked into someone else's error doesn't make it my emergency. You know what I'm saying? And this happens all the time. You know, it happens all the time. Be careful. Sacrifice is good, but you don't need to be sacrificing for everybody else's stupidity. That's where God's wisdom's going to come in. He's going to let you know what to do, where to be, who to help, and whatever. And it's going to be a flow. It's not going to be him giving you some sheet. I've often said, God, just write out, give me a memo for the day, write it out, stick it under my pillow. I get up every day, and this is exactly what you want. But that's not being led by the Spirit. It's a flow. Because, see, there's so many variables and stuff going on. God wants it to be a flow, not a chop-chop bunch of rules. I'm a rule keeper. I love the rules. Give me the rules. Just give me the list. Give me the operating instructions. Those are great. But, no, this is a walking by faith. This is a flow where God has the list and you just follow his directions. So remember, it's very, very easy to become religious instead of godly. So let us discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. And I want to finish with that scripture again, 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. It so struck me the other day, just so powerful. Discipline yourself. Let your mama do it for you. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit. He's not saying not to do it. He's just saying in comparison. Bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness, Christ-likeness, is profitable for all things since it holds promise for the present life and the life to come. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you.